chapter 5 is the present standing of the Christian. The one who is justified, who is no longer under God's wrath, who is delivered from guilt, who is liberated by this great mighty declaration that we are justified, declared righteous by faith. And so we look at chapter 5, 2, by whom also we have access. Let me tell you something, it's a great thing that we're not shut out. Access means that we have a way in.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. The message today is on Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In this verse, you have so much of the power of the gospel packed into a few short words. We have access. And this is a wonderful thing. This is revolutionary. In human nature, man is sin is shut out from God. But by grace and by the gospel, we have this way into the very presence of the Lord. And that is a mighty work of grace. Now, how do we receive that? By faith. By faith. By forsaking all and trusting Him. That's how you enter in. Forsaking every other hope, every other idol, every other worldly thing in your life, and resting your soul salvation upon the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that leads to a wonderful standing. That means it's sure. It gives a foundation. And then we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, if I was to ask you personally, do you have in your heart a sure and certain hope that you will one day see God and enter into His glory? This is what the gospel promises, and I want you to have that today, and I hope that you will stay tuned and get this into your heart and soul. Let it fill you with joy in believing. So stay tuned as we come now to a wonderful hymn, The Old Rugged Cross. My passion for the cross of Christ. We as believers must be in love with that instrument of God redeeming the world, reconciling the world unto Himself by the blood of His own Son, shed upon that cross. This is the ground of our hope. This is the very basis of our peace. And here we find our fellowship with God. There's nowhere else that a sinner can go to find peace with God but to the cross, to the sacrifice which the Lord Jesus offered up as he shed his own blood for our salvation. And so I invite you and beseech you to put your faith today in the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Just look by faith to the man of Calvary, to the Redeemer upon that tree, and call out to him to save your soul. This is the message today. So stay tuned as we go to the message.
So it's a gracious standing, it's a gospel standing, and it's a personal standing through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus alone. I think I told you the story of Dr. McClellan getting into the golf course for a day, a very elite golf course, and he spent the whole day walking around enjoying the golfing, and all because he knew a professional golfer who asked him to be the caddy for the day because he had a friend. He didn't get in because he had money. Well, I'm sure Mr. McClellan could have paid it. If he couldn't pay it, he's got a few rich connections who probably would have helped him. But it wasn't money. And it wasn't because of his membership in the club. It wasn't because he just happened to show up on the day at the right time and a caddy was needed. No, he had a friend. And that's this personal faith, trust in the Lord Jesus. You are in when you trust him. I read of an elderly Christian woman whose age began to tell on her memory. And she had once known much of the Bible by heart. And eventually, only one precious bit stayed with her. And it was that text we looked at this morning. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But by and by, as her mind declined, she could not retain all of the verse until she could hardly be heard at all. And near the end, someone stooped very close to her and thought maybe she was asking for something. But her one word was him. Him. That's the one word you need. It's him. That's our present standing in Christ. Read the verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, wherein we rejoice in glory. Someone asked Martin Luther, do you feel forgiven? He answered, no, but I'm as sure of it as there's a God in heaven. You see, this business of assurance and feelings, they can conflict. Because once you start looking at yourself, you'll find 1,000 reasons why you should be under God's wrath. You'll find 1,000 reasons why you should be lost and never in heaven. But it's only when you look to Christ that you'll find the absolute reason why God should deal with you in mercy. And therein, by faith in the Lord Jesus, we have assurance. And sometimes biblical, gospel, doctrinal assurance I wouldn't say conflicts with our feelings, but must triumph over our feelings. And maybe you came to church today doubting, questioning, asking, how can I know? How can I know? Well, it's by your faith in Him, in the cross work, in the blood of Jesus. Someone wrote, for feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Not else is worth believing. Though all my heart shall feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. Are you doing that? Are you an overcomer against the feelings and the earthly reasons and perhaps the human reasons and your own psychological reasons, your own emotional thoughts? I can't be a Christian. See, this is the amazing thing. Sometimes we have to pinch ourselves. I'm really a Christian? I'm saved? I'm in? It's real? And we have to come back to the gospel every time and marvel at it all. The Lord would save a sinner like me. And then it's a sure standing. This present standing we have with God, it's a sure standing. Oh boy, there's just so much to preach on this. How long do we have? This is such a wonderful topic. Romans 5, Romans 8. Let's go to Romans 8, 1 and see here the great statement. There is therefore now, present, this day, today. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. It's absolute. It's total. There's no argument, there's no degrees, there's no halfway. It's certain. There is therefore now no condemnation. If you jump down to verse 32, you'll see the arguments. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It all comes down to that work at the cross where God delivered up his son for us. And then verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You're not justifying yourself. It's not the pronouncement of the church. It's not the pronouncement of some friend that just loves you so much they want to see you in heaven. It's God that justifieth. And of course he does so on the merits, on the works and the value that is in the Lord Jesus. And then verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again. Is Jesus risen or is he not? That settles it for the Christian. That settles it. If Jesus is not risen, Paul says, we are yet in our sins. But if he be risen, we are justified. We are declared right with God on the basis of the victory, the cross work, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And you just read on down Romans 8. It's all filled with arguments that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, knowing that truth, it's going to manifest itself in two ways in your Christian life. Number one, how you pray and what you sing. I'm not going to say how you sing. I'm going to say what you sing. Some of us are better singers than others. That doesn't make us better Christians than others. I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. But this assurance of faith will translate into your prayer life. Because the first thing you will do when you get on your knees to pray is you will say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Now that is an expression of assurance that it's done. Thank you for saving my soul. It doesn't say, thank you, Lord, that I'm on the path to being saved. It doesn't say that one day I will be possibly a Christian. No, it's thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me salvation so rich, so full, and so free. It will translate into how you pray. And I'd love to hear you pray that prayer. I'd love to hear you in a church prayer meeting or in your home. I'd love to hear you in your own heart say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. It's a sad day in the Christian church when the pastor doesn't hear his own people pray, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. That's what assurance does. And then it will translate into what you sing. The modern songs of the Christian light church, I didn't say life, light, L-I-T-E. Everything's shallow, everything's little. They sing choruses that I fear would not give anybody assurance. They sing things that don't touch the depths of the cross work, the blood of Jesus, the redeeming, finished work of Calvary. I want a hymnal that has hymns that help me to express my devotion to the Lord for the victory of Christ's death on the cross. And of course, we could choose any number of hymns, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. We could, the blood, I Believe, Jesus Saves, those great hymns that are filled with wonderful assurance. There's another way. I should have been counting better. Those are two ways: what you pray, how you pray, and what you sing. Thirdly, is what you do when you sin. What do you do when you sin? What do you do when you flounder and fail? Well, the Bible tells us that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. What do you do when you sin as a Christian? You go back to the cross. You go back to the redeeming blood. And you know you'll never have peace, you'll never have grace, you'll never have power with God until you plead the cleansing of that blood of Jesus. And that becomes your fresh assurance that all is well within your soul. You see, this is not like playing snakes and ladders. One wrong move at 99, and then you go all the way to the bottom again. Praise God, this is eternal life. And even though we sin, the cleansing power of Jesus' blood washes away that sin. John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That brings me to the future standing with God. And here I'm going to wrap up awfully quickly. And I'm going to simply say, as you go back here to Romans 5 and verse 2, where it says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Number one, we will see God's glory. We will see God's glory. Number two, we will be changed into his glory. And that's not bragging. That's giving the glory to the Lord. Paul was never a half-hearted man. He didn't make half-hearted statements. When he said, I know and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's a clear statement of his own conviction. And here he says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I can't preach all that I have here today. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23, the most beautiful, the most commonly known psalm in all of the Bible. I shall not want. And how does it end? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How could David say that? Was he just a poet, just dreaming up nice little words? No, that was truth. Gospel truth. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our future hope and our future standing. And let me tell you that when you get to heaven, you'll never get kicked out. Angels in heaven will never lose their status. They are elect angels. Now, the fallen angels, they're different. They lost it, and Satan was put out of heaven, and all the host of the fallen angels came down with him. But the elect angels, they will never, ever be put out. And when you are justified by the blood, you will never lose your seat in glory. You have a home in glory. And I come back to that dying martyr in the prison who said farewell to his daughter for the last time on earth, and yet with a deep conviction that he would see her again. And it's true. It's true. All because our Lord Jesus bought our justification and declares us right with God. Is that your hope today? Are you saved? Are you in? Is that your standing? I pray that you will come and believe in this glorious gospel.
Well, it's always a pleasure to bring the message of the gospel to you, but I do want to be a pastor. I want to be here for you in your time of need. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs fellowship. Everybody needs a word of counsel and encouragement. And of course, there's no book to do that better than the Bible. Just by going to the sacred scriptures and discovering the promises of God's word. Here at our church over these last weeks, we have been looking at a number of promises. And if you go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, or the shorter version, ltbs.ca, you will find these promises, these messages on the promises of God. Now, sometimes we are inclined to those isolated texts, and sometimes you have people who have a little box of promises and they take out a small little tiny card and it looks like almost a Chinese cookie approach and fortune telling as if we're picking out of the Bible. But we don't need to do that. We can go to the Word of God and be well versed in where the promises are to be found. Promises for sickness. Promises for bereavement, promises for children, promises for parents, promises for all the ills of life, financial arrangements, promises for marriage, promises for loneliness, and promises for heaven. This is a very rich way in which we are to engage with our Bibles and discover what God has said in the time of our need. That's very much what a pastor is called to do. When we get invited to talk to someone who is suffering, sorrowing, we come to understand their grief and their problem. and we want to be able to open the Bible and share with that dear soul what the Lord has to say on that kind of situation. I remember reading a biography of Dr. T.T. Shields, who climbed the stairs to an apartment building in Toronto. And he visited a home where there was a young couple who had just received their very first child. But the awful news had come that the child had died. And into that home went Dr. Shields with his Bible. And of course, that's a pastor's call to have the right word to say. Well, he read to them John chapter 13, verse 7, which says, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Now that was the Lord's word to Peter. Peter, who had failed the Lord and felt so very miserable. But it was also a very appropriate word for a young couple deeply, deeply sorrowing the loss of their first child. And God's word speaks to every situation in life. It is indeed God breathed with all the passion and all the nuances to be attuned to the human heart. And the Word of God, the Bible, is therefore a miraculous book. But we need some skill in using it. And when I talk about claiming the promises, I really mean by learning where those promises are found. And it's a very good thing to make a little short list of them. And so I give you this one today, John 13:7. "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." And may the Lord use that in your heart today to comfort and console. Again, if I can be of personal help, feel free to give me a call. I would be encouraged to learn and know your prayer needs and bring them to the Lord. We could pray together. So may God bless you today and encourage you, and join with us each day as we Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.